All I Want for Christmas is a Toy Without Lead.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. For the third time in 5 weeks, Mattel has recalled toys made in China. This time, it's Barbie playsets and Fisher-Price preschool products. 800,000 toys made with high levels of paint that contain lead. Let's bring in Tom Mitchell of the Financial Times in Hong Kong. Tom, what is the manufacturing situation like in China?
Well, they're dealing with an awful, awful lot of factories. And to call it a wasteland is probably not too strong a word for it. You think about worker dormitories, just very sort of an anonymous landscape of factory buildings. The problem is that companies like Mattel, not only are they using contractors, but these contractors in turn have subcontractors, and those guys have subcontractors. And just trying to trace all the products through what's become a very complex system is incredibly difficult.
What's the consequence in terms of the PR campaign now that the Chinese government's going to be faced with?
Well, it was always going to be a hard campaign at the start. This obviously doesn't make it any easier. You know, but on the other hand, you know, there's an argument to be made by some that this is not only China's fault. You know, some responsibility does have to lie, they would argue, with the manufacturers who are contracting this stuff, and say, you know, they would say it's part of their responsibility to keep an eye on products that they're manufacturing. Now, of course, Mattel and others who've made the recall say, well, you know, we're doing exactly that, finding these problems and announcing them and making the recalls.
With the people that you're speaking to, what do they believe is the biggest nightmarish kind of situation or scenario?
There's no doubt that they're panicking. They're just hoping that this rash of cases is going to stop. I don't think anyone is talking seriously now about some sort of whole-scale defection from China. You're just not going to move 80% of the world's toy production back to the North Pole.
Tom Mitchell is South China correspondent for the Financial Times in Hong Kong. Tom, thanks so much for talking with us.
Not at all. Thank you.
We've got details on the latest Mattel recall at our website. That is marketplace.org. Well, the stock market rallied yesterday as investors made aggressive bets on the Fed cutting interest rates this month. The Dow jumped 91 to 13,448. Meantime, the S&P and the NASDAQ each rose by more than 1%. But overnight in Asia, the major markets were mixed. In Tokyo, the Nikkei was down when a senior Japanese official voiced concern about more losses from subprime mortgages here in the U.S. In Europe, stocks are lower at this hour, and stock futures are pointing to a lower open for Wall Street. President Bush is in Australia this week for the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit, and he's expected to announce a big defense deal while there. Alisa Roth has more.
The new deal will let Australia buy top-secret American military technology. It may also give local companies the right to produce some of the equipment for the Australian government. Charles Tiefer is a law professor at the University of Baltimore. He says that conceptually the deal is similar to one announced earlier this summer to sell arms to Saudi Arabia and others in the Middle East. But it'll be much less of a bonanza for American defense contractors.
Australia is not on the same scale in any way, on the same order of magnitude as Saudi Arabia and the Gulf nations as far as having the wallet to spend in the American defense shopping center, you might say.
Still, he says Australia is a perfectly good market for American technology, and getting production licenses will help Australian defense firms make more money. Mostly, though, he says the deal is really a way to thank Australia for its help in the war in Iraq and elsewhere. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, representing America's public transportation industry, delivering 10 billion riders annually, and working for an energy-independent America. PublicTransportation.org. And by Siemens, from generators that power cities to light bulbs for homes, from factory automation to medical diagnostics. Siemens, 70,000 U.S. employees providing solutions for America. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Was the summer of subprime sludge a huge mess created by the collapse of risky loans? The consequence has made getting a mortgage more difficult and expensive. That's especially true here in L.A., as Stacey Vanek-Smith reports.
Gone are the days when you could land a home loan with less than sterling credit and no money down. Mortgage lenders and big banks have gotten very finicky in the last few weeks. Mitch Olbaum is a mortgage broker in Los Angeles. He says if you want to get a decent interest rate now, you'd better have great credit and be prepared to put down a big chunk of change.
For now, the standard's really going to be 10% down if you want to buy something, which in the real world is not so bad. It's just a little bit more difficult where we live when everything's, you know, $1 million.
Olbaum says 10% down is unrealistic for many of his middle-class and working-class clients, even those with steady incomes and good credit. The result? They can't get the loans they need to buy in L.A., where the median home price is well above $500,000.
So this is a six-bedroom, five-bath, 4,500 square feet.
Dan Arguelles is a real estate agent in Manhattan Beach, California. He says the restrictive lending practices mean homes in his Tony area are taking longer to sell.
Now it's getting even tougher that you have to state your income. It is getting a little harder to find that qualified buyer.
The same thing is happening in New York, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. Housing market economist David LeRae is with Move.com. He says a couple of months ago, it was too easy to get a loan. Now it's too hard.
We need to be making loans to families that have the financial wherewithal to buy these homes. That's the American dream, is home ownership. And now we're keeping families out of that dream because we've overreacted to this boom-bust cycle that we find ourselves in.
LeRae says if the credit crunch continues, it will erode consumer confidence in high-priced real estate markets, and that could spread to the broader economy. Other economists say if consumers stop buying homes, they will stop putting money down on cars, won't go on as many vacations, and the consumer spending that's been driving the economy will dry up. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.